goes up to Yisrael as he goes back for his Hasana. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, the sugya of Yoledes and Chasana Mapeles begins from the psukim themselves. In Parashas Tezria, the Torah Kedosha tells us, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, Daber Bnei Yisrael Leimar, Isha Ki Tezria V'Yolda Zachar." If a woman gives birth to a male, V'Tama Shivas Yom Kimei Nidas Dosa Titma. Interestingly, the Torah equates it to a nida, that she's tmeya. Then we have a pasuk that's interdispersed, the Hilchos Mila of Uvayom Hashmini Yimal Besar Lasov. And then there's 7 days that she's Tameh, like Anida, 33 days that she has Yimei Tohar, which means, according to the Torah, that the blood that appears during that period of time of the 33 days subsequent to the 7 days of Tumah is automatically Tohar, which would mean that she would be allowed to have relations with her husband. Assuming that she went through the appropriate tahara for the 7 days, in the next 33 days she'd be able to have relations. In the keva seile d'tama shivuayim kini dasa v'sheishim yom v'sheishisam teishiv al d'mei tahara. So there you have 14 days for nekeva of yimei tuma, 66 days of yimei tahar. The mefarshim discuss the parshan. The Mefarshim, Parshanim, discuss why is there a difference between Zachar and Akeva. We're going to leave that out for now. But either way, there is this process of Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara. If you take a look in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, of course we're learning Simin Kuf Tzadi Dalet, so right off the bat, it's important to note the following formulation of Shulchan Aruch, which is based, the Gra points out, in the first Gra, Sif Katan Aleph, which is based on Gemara Nida, Membeis, and Krisus on Daf Yud. And that is Yoledes Afilu Lo Ra'as Adam, Tmeya Kenida. So a Yoledes is Tmeya. That's Xeris HaKasa that she's Tame. The Gemara in Krisus describes that there was a Leda Yavishta, if there was a dry Leda as well, that's what the Gra is referring to. In other words, the baby came out and there was absolutely not a single bit of Dam, which doesn't happen for us, but if such a thing would have happened, nevertheless she would be Tmeya. Now, that Xeris HaKosov has nothing to do with Dam, absolutely nothing to do with Dam. However, almost everything that we're going to discuss today is going to revolve around Dam because of the next word in the Shulchan Aruch. That the Shulchan Aruch says, Yoledes Afilo Rasa Dam Tmeya Kenida, so Minat Torah, she's going to be Tamei for these 7 days or 14 days. Ben Yilad Dechai, Ben Yilad Meis. This is important. It doesn't matter if, God forbid, there's a stillborn or it's a healthy child. Vafil Nefo, or even a miscarriage, that is the halacha. Vekama Heim Yimei Tumasa, Achshav Bizman Hazeh. And what are the amount of days of Tumah today, says the Shulchan Aruch, where the halacha is going to change. And here are their critical words to understand how the halacha has evolved. The halacha has evolved on two different levels today from what it once was. Number one, says the Shulchan Aruch, Kol hayoldos chashuvos yoldos bizav. Every leida is considered a leida bizav. Every leida were choshesh that there was a tumas zav. And therefore you're going to have a tumah of Shiva Nikim. There's going to be a requirement like every time a woman sees Dam, she sees she is Tmeya, and there's going to be a requirement of Shiva Nikim. So you see, Rabosai, step number one of how things have evolved from the Dine Torah. According to the Din Torah, so then the whole sugya of Yoledes has nothing to do, Yoledes has nothing to do with blood. According to Dine Torah, Yoledes just simply means that you have either Tumah of 7 days or 14. That's the whole story. However, Bizman Hazeh, we have a few things that are going to change. Bizman Hazeh, first of all, what's going to change is that we are Choshesh that if there is dam, that dam automatically has a din ziva. That if there is dam, so then that dam is automatically dam. That's number one. Then we saw that where we turn Rabbi Zeira's chumra is that every dam has a din ziva. That's number one. Number two, this we'll see inside in the Beis Yosef, is that when it comes to a leida, there's more than Tumas Leida that's happening. There's more than Tumas Leida that's happening. Maybe let's just change the numbers and maybe even put this Yoledes as number one. Bizman Azed Dam equals Zav is number two. Every Dam we have to treat as Zav. And number three, the third thing that's happening is Ein Psichas HaKever below Dam. Let's take a look and see that in the words of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Tzadi Dalid spelled out. The Beis Yosef is quite long, and I did not ask the Talmidim to do all of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef in Dibar Maschul Umashe Kosev Vaha'idna. Umashe Kosev Vaha'idna. Where is it? I would say it's about two-thirds of the way through Sif Aleph in the Beis Yosef. It's actually a very small keta. Right before it was Me'ata, and right after it is Umashikas of Afilu Yilada Nekeva. I'll read outside if you can't find it where it is. It's Dibar Masul Umashikas of Itna if you want to look it up afterwards. Klomar Chashuvos Zavos Gedolos. So Chumra number one is we consider every woman a Zava Gedola. Mishum Dechmiru Benois Yisrael. Shafil Ros Tipas Dam Yosheves Alav Shivanikim. So the first step is you have a requirement of Shivanikim. That's the first Rabbanim. Kedin Zava Gedola. Number two, V'kivan de kamalan. And since we paskin the EF shel psichas hakever below dam, so this is a sugya that we've discussed previously, and we're only going to discuss EF shel psichas hakever below dam within the context of Leida today. We spent a lot of time discussing in regards to procedures and so on and so forth. Now we're only going to discuss the sugya in regards to Leida, but step number two is the rule of ein psichas hakever below dam. So therefore, when it comes to every Leida, there's no way that a fetus came out, whether the fetus came out after 9 months, or the fetus came out after 41 days, so that, or even possibly prior, then in such a case, there wasn't dam. So therefore, shekulon chashuvas yoldos bezav gadol, vafilu lo rodan klal. So now we have the following tuma, and that is that number one, we have tumas leida. Number two, we have the din of zav. And number three, we have the phenomenon of Sichas HaKever, and Sichas HaKever below Dam. And therefore, even if the Leida was a Leida Yevesha, which only has Tumas Leida, which is the Geras HaKosa, you have Tumas Leida as well, as we pointed out, you don't need any Dam at all for Tumas Leida. Tumas Leida is a phenomenon when a woman gives birth. People get confused because it's found in Hilchos Nida, they think that there's Dam. No, there's Tumas Leida, 7, 14, 33, 66, that's number one. Number two is that if there is any dam, we treat all dam as dam ziva. Number three is that ef shav psichas hakever below dam, that we have to be choshish that there is dam, and that means that even if there was a dry leida, in such a case, there's still going to be a chshash that there was dam, and we have to be choshish for a zava gedola. This is yisod harishon vasugya. This is the development of the sugya in regards to understanding the halachas of Yoledes and Mapeles, and this is Roman numeral one, if you will, the three steps. I'll just add, in terms of, as far as this Roman numeral one is concerned, just to review, this is going to come back later, in terms of the definition of Psichas HaKever below Dam. So we already saw, I'm going to formulate it the way Rav Miller Shlita said it when he learned these halachas. We might not have formulated exactly this way when we learned Simen Kuf Teches, but the Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Peches points out that Psichas HaKever, you have to be Choshesh, the smallest amount of an opening is already Psichas HaKever. We have to be Choshesh and Psichas HaKever below Dam for the smallest amount that could possibly come out of the uterus. According to the way Rav Miller Shlita presented it, it's already from 3 millimeters and on, according to the Beis Yosef, you have to be choshesh. However, Moshe Feinstein, this is how we came out. This is how some understand the Beis Yosef. However, we pointed out, based on the Gra, Moshe Feinstein that we saw last time, says that one could be makel up until 19 millimeters. And the reason for that, where did the Gra get it from? Because it's a brilliant Gra. We saw that the Gra found that in all those, there is a discussion of the kever opening up, the psichas hakever opening up, to the point of a pika, the point of a small, the head of a pin. And Rav Moshe did a cheshbon, exactly what that is. So based on the Gra, it'll be a little bit larger in terms of 19 millimeters. Why are we bringing this up here? Because this is going to come up in terms of when a woman's uterus opens, if a woman is giving birth, or in the case of chastach of a miscarriage, which we're only going to get to in an hour from now, the case of a woman that's giving birth, when she becomes tmeya, that's going to come back for issue number 3. In other words, she hasn't yet been a yoledes. She might not have seen any bit of dam, but an hour from now, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to discuss what's going to be her status in terms of ein psichas hakever below dam. Okay, so this is Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 2 is how do we segue from Yemei Tumah into Yemei Tahara. Yes, Rabbi Yonatan.
So, on number 1,
yes.
So is the blood that's coming out of her dam tameh when she gives birth, like before the gzera, like does it already have the status of dam tameh? Is that matama b'masa? Is that dam tameh? She's tameyah because she's a yoledes, but is the
right? No, the answer is it's not called dam nida. It's not called dam zava. We would have to know that it's dam zava.
So that dam's tar. It's not going to be matama things.
The answer is I don't know.
Okay.
I have to look into it. I don't know. Okay. So Roman numeral two that we're going to discuss is in regards to the transition between Yemei Tumah to Yemei Tahara. So let's continue on, going back into the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch continues. Yemei Leida. This is where we're up to the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Al Kut Sadi Dalad Al. Yemei Leida Shem Shiva Lezachar V'Yudalad Nekeva. Yemei Leida that are the 7 days of Zachar and 14 Nekeva. Im Lo Rasa Bahen. If she doesn't see Dam in those days, Olim L'Sviras Zivasa. So then, it will count towards her days of Ziva. So let's put this, of course, in a natural timeline. So in our timeline that we're going to have, we're going to have, let's say she's going to, what will be easier for her to give birth to a boy or a girl? I mean, for sure girls are easier, but, so okay, a girl, so. So we have a timeline of the 14 days of Yemei Tumah, and then after the 14 days of Yemei Tumah, so then in such a case, then you've got the 66 days of Yemei Tahara. Now, during these 66 days, Min HaTahara, she's going to be entirely Tahar, which means that everything that we've learned up until now would say that all she needs to do is stop bleeding after 14 days. And even if she doesn't, once 14 days have passed, so then in such a case she's going to be taller. However, we have step number 2. And that is that every dam is considered what? It's considered ziva. So if all dam is considered ziva, so then in such a case, now what she needs is going to be shiva nikiyim. So if you will, in our process of bizman hazeh, step number 4 is that at the end of the day, even if during her 66 days she is going to be tahar, but at the end of we do need shiva nikiyim over here. Why? Because within these 14 days, that dam is going to be treated like dam ziva. So here we go. Here we need shiva nikiyim. Okay. Now we have a fundamental machlokis rishon. When we require shiva nikiyim in processing from the 14 days to the 66, when we require shiva nikiyim, does that shiva nikiyim have to be done during her 66 days? Or what happens if she happens to have stopped bleeding on day number 7? And here, she has her shiva nikiyim. Now, it's pashut that her shiva nikiyim could be here. But here's the question. Could you have shiva nikiyim from day 7 to day 14. And therefore, even on the level of Durabanan, allow a woman, in theory, by the way, there's no woman that's ready to have Tashmish and certainly to have a child 14 days after she's given birth. But in the world of theory, is it possible for her to go to the mikveh in such a case? So this, of course, Rabosai, is a machlokis between Abaye and Rava. Let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara is, we have two sets of photocopies over here. It's in the first, we'll call the first booklet the one with the cover page, with the background. Daflam Zayin. In Nida, we have machlokis between Abaye and Rava, starting with Tanya Rebbe Merunis, five lines before the Y. Tanya Rebbe Merunis, Omer Ein Leida Soseres B'Ziva. A Leida wouldn't be Soser, the counting of Ziva. In other words, the fact that she sees doesn't mess up a previous count. Iboy Luhu Mau Shetala. Omer Abaye Eina Soseres V'Eina Ola. Just because she went into these Yimei Tuma, on the one hand, it's not so seres. On the other hand, you can't count any of these 14 days. That's Shitas Abaye. Rava Omar, Eina so seres, V'Ola. Of course, if there's blood, you can't call it Shiva Nikim. V'Amevin Yavin, Rabbi Merunis wasn't talking about our case of the Rabban. He was talking about a woman who was Yoledes Bezav. Prior, she was a Zav prior, and close brackets, end of the Amev and Yavin. But leaving aside the difference between the Durabanan and the Doraisa, Rabbi Ronis is talking on the level of Doraisa, coming back, at the end of the day we have a fundamental machlokas between Abaye and Rava. And that is, during the Yamim of Yoledes, can you count for Zava? Once upon a time, just to describe the background, once upon a time, it was a woman that had given birth during the period of Zav, and now she happens to have clean days during those 14. Or, in our case, halacha lemaisa, if you will, is in a case in which she has given birth, she bled for 7 days, and now we want to know, during the Yimei Leida, do the Yimei Leida count as well? Could they count towards Shivanikim? So this is my focus of Bayin Rabba. The Shulchan Aruch, Paskins like Ruba de Ruba Rishonim. The majority of Rishonim are of the opinion that her Shiva Nikim could even coincide with Yimei Tuma, and therefore, if this woman after birth stopped bleeding after 7 days, so she could count Shiva Nikim even prior to her Yimei Tohar. Of course, let's just write out how these days are referred to. These are Yimei Tuma. These are Yimei Tohar, so that she could count in her Yimei Tohar, she could count the Yimei Tuma 7 days, and will come out is that she'd be able to go to the mikveh already 14 days later, and technically, al pi dinei Torah, she'd be able to have relations with her husband on day 15, and yoser mizeh, even if she bled on day number 16, she would be fine to her husband because this is Yimei Torah. So therefore, the Mechaber says, Yimei Leida Shem Shiva L'Zachav Yudal Nekevim Lo Rasa Ben Olam L'Sfira Sivasa Vim Shilmu Shiva Nikim B'Tof Yudal Nekeva Hareza Asura Ad Leil Tezvah. Up until the night of the 15th, she's also Vim Tov L'Kodim L'Kein Lo Osu L'Tzvila. Tzvila is not going to work during the 14 days, but after that, from the 15th and on, she is going to be fine. Now, what we're going to see is that at the end of the day, this is a big issue in terms of an entirely different topic, lahalacha, and that this is not uniform. Not all Rishonim agree, that one could do this process. In fact, if you take a look at the photocopy, on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph and Tosfos Dibrei Maskil Abaye Omar, this is actually a collector's item. And that is that Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam is a collector's item because it gets to one of the most famous sugyas in Shas. One of the most famous sugyas of Shas is, of course, Machlokis in between Abaye and Rava, and they'll be passing like Rava in almost every instance, except for Yal Kagan. So what is the lamed in Yal Kegan? So most understand that that refers to Lechi Ha'omad Me'elav. Says Tosas, no, they got the lamed wrong. Rashi in Elul Matzias got the lamed wrong, and the actually is referring to this case that we're talking about Leidas Zava. The lamed in Yal Kegan is Leidas Zava. Kol Atarakula in Yinechadu. And this actually connects to the sugya in Elul Matzias, where Rashi actually spells out all of the Yal Kegans. Rabbeinu Tam over here in Lamed Zayin and Nida disagrees, and he says we paskin like Abaye and not like Rava. As I said, it will come up later on why this is important. Okay, so this is, if you will, the second issue, that second Roman numeral, as far as the development of the Surei Derabanan, and we see a Machlokas Rishonim, issue number 4, of whether you're allowed to do, the way to crunch it, and number 4 is Shivanikiyim Bimei Toma, Machlokas Abaye Rava, and a Machlokas Rishonim of how we pass them. That is issue number 4. Notice, up until now, the reason why we put it as Roman numeral 1 is these three are a topic by itself. When is there Toma? Number 2 is that Roman numeral 2 is an issue of Shivanikim. Now, Roman numeral 3 is the famous discussion in the Rishonim, and that is the status of Yimei Tohar. How does one look at this phenomenon of Yimei Tohar? And of course, as you know, there are going to be three basic shitas of how we look at Yimei Tohar. Turning back to the Beis Yosef, everybody is familiar with the Charifus of the Nesher HaGodol of the Rambam. The Rambam in Dibur HaMaskil, Kos of a Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tezvot, it is towards the end of Sif Aleph, the Rambam is quite strong. Zok to Heiliger Rambam. Kos of a Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tezvot, Zeh Shetimsa V'miktsas M'komos, V'timsa Tshuvos, L'miktsas Ge'onim, Sheyoleda Zachar Lo Teshamish Mitasa Ad Sof Arbon, V'yoledes Nekeva Achashmonim. Once upon a time, there was a custom for couples not to have relations within the 40 days at all, if it's a zachar, or 80 days for the nekeva. V'afo bishalo ros adam elav tov shiva, ein ze minig elav toz ba'osan hachuvos, v'derech minus ba'osan hamikomos u'minat zdukim lomdu davar ze. Now you have to know, be familiar with history. The Rambam, when he came to Mitzrayim, the Tzedukim and the Karaites were rampant, and the Rambam really turned Egypt around. Single-handedly, the Rambam transformed the Jews of Mitzrayim, and the Rambam makes reference to this along the way. The Rambam was very frustrated with many things that were going on at the time that were influenced by the Karoim and the Tzedukim. So the Rambam says that this is a terrible thing. Now, what's really strange is how did the Tzedukim are the ones who supposedly read the Torah literally, right? And here the Torah, like, so they didn't light a fire in the house, and we have Rashi in this week's parasha says it means something else. Okay, so you, normally they took it literally. Here, it's hard to understand how the Tzedukim al-Pishitasam came to this Kruma Cheshvan, because the Torah says that Yimei Tohar. But either way, bottom line, is that there was a minig that the Rambam calls derech minus, and that is that the couples did not have relations at all, and during that period of time. And the Rambam says that that is incorrect. The Ramah gives it honorable mention in the sense that he does give it the status of some level of minog, based on the Maharik, which is also quoted in the Beis Yosef, as well as the Rivosh in Siman Mem. The Ramah goes on and he says the following. Let's first read the Ramah from the beginning, from the first line. Ula achar shiva lezachar v'yudal inekeva, muteres l'bayla miyad, me'achar shesofer shiva nekiyim, v'lo chaza v'rasa. Miyu, yesh mekomos shenoagin she'ein tov l'ntoch arba lezachar u'shmonim l'nekeva. This is again, as mentioned, the Tshuvas Ma'arik as well as the Rivosh. If there's a place, the Rivash in contrast to the Ramba, the Rivash says that if it was a place that was Nogu Lahachmir, so then in such a case, then one should not be matirit for them. So Pischei Tshuva has a discussion about this, as well as the Torah Shlamim, that this brings out very interesting Marim Mekomos in regards to how to deal with a minug that you believe is a minug that is a mistake. Does that have halachic significance, or does it not? And what comes out from both the Pischei Tshuva and the Torah Shlamim is the following. If it's a minug that for whatever reason was started by the Rabbanim, and it was a minug that was done, take a look, for example, the Pischei Tshuva and Sifkatan Aleph, quoting from the Noda B'Yehuda, two lines into the Pischei Tshuva, Ba'ayim B'Tshuva's Noda B'Yehuda, Shekasav, the Dafka B'Yedua Shenasa Mitchila Ba'Askama Ziknei Ha'ir. If it was something that was done with Askama Ziknei Ha'ir, so it really depends if it was done by Askamas HaZakenim. If it's done by Askamas HaZakenim, so then in such a case, it falls into the category of the Gemara Nedarim and Psachim. You're not supposed to be matir for them. However, if it was coming from a totally ignorant place, so then in such a case, then it's a mitzvah to uproot it. So that's what comes out both from Pischei Tshuva and Torah Shlamim. Kanireh, the machlokes between the Rambam and the Rivash was how to look at this. Did it start from a place that it was done by Askama Ziknei Ha'ir, clearly as some type of minug, some suggest, even if it was a minug based on health. It was based on a health cheshbon, and that is that simply women are just not capable of A, having children, B, even having relations prior to that period of time. So there was a minig that was done that they didn't go to the mikvah prior to that point. So that would be a nice minig that we would say that acherim are nogim heter and some are noig yisr. So then in such a case, those places are supposed to continue the minig, even though it's against the psukim of the Torah itself. However, if it's not done by Askama Ziknei Ha'ir, so then in such a case, then it's Roi to uproot. So that's what seem is the different perspectives that the Rivash and the Rambam felt. The Rambam came to Mitzrayim, and he felt that the Karoim had entirely changed Judaism. So the Rambam there says, you have to uproot that minhag. The Rivash might have thought that it had a different status. And that's the Rambam's approach, closer to the Rivash, where he says, Amal Mokum She'ein Minhag Ein Lachner Klal. If there is no minig, you shouldn't be machmer. All rak miyad shalora sadam achar shivul azachar v'yudal inikeva safar shivul nakim muteres labayla. So far we have in the famous machlokas between issue number 5 in terms of the issues that we're outlining in terms of the general topic Roman numeral 3. So we have the famous machlokas. We have the Rambam on the one end. We have the Rivash on the other, and we're going to have, of course, Kedarko Bekodesh, we're going to have the Pshara of the Ramah in a moment. Says the Ramah, Avlam Chazer V'Rasa Filus Tipas Dam Tichardo Tzmeya Afal Gav Midorais Adam Toru Adar Bon Lezachor Shon Lekeva Kfar Poshat Haminig B'chol Yisrael She'en Bolin Al Dam Toar V'dino Kishar Dam L'chol Dover. The Rama says there was already Pashat, the Minig and Klal Yisrael, that we don't have relations during when there's Dam. Question is, you know, how could we be Poshet such a Minig? How could that Minig and Klal Yisrael be Poshet? So we'll just put it down as the Rama's sheet number 3. Rama is as the compromise. So the Ramah itself has a wild theory that the Shach quotes by us from the Darche Moshe, which is fascinating, because what the Ramah does is the Ramah puts together the previous sugya of number 4, the issue of Shiva Nekiyim during Yimei Tuma, with issue number 5. The Ramah claims that this minug to be machmer and yimei toar is directly connected to what we had learned from the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. One could argue it's also the shita of the Ramban, that we're machmer in a couple of instances, and due to shita of Rabbeinu Tam, the phenomenon became that we were machmer for yimei toma. If you would take a look, the Shach in Sifkatan Aleph quotes the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe. We're going to read it slowly, And I want to be madri. This is a shita that I find that many don't have clear. So even though it doesn't have enough, this analysis doesn't have enough kamina, halacha lemaisa, but it's a mitzvah to understand the shach as well, even if it doesn't have a practical nafkamina in Rabbi Forrest's footnotes or Rabbi Sabalowski's sefer and so on. Taira l'shem havanas hatayra. That's it. Okay, so Shach says in Sif Katan Aleph the following. He quotes from the Darkei Moshe. Avol the Darkei Moshe. Everybody have it. It's about 8 or 9 lines into the Shach. Avol the Darkei Moshe kotav b'zeh tam sheyesh bo iker. The svira luhu ki rabbeinu tam. He says beautiful, fascinatingly. I don't know, beautifully. It's controversial what he's about to say. But he says something very fascinating. We mentioned that there is a machlokis rishonim of whether you're allowed to do bedikas during yemei toha. You're allowed to do bedikas during yemei toma. Rabbeinu tam was one of the machmirim. We saw that in Tosfos on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Oh. There is a fascinating leap that Rabbeinu Tam makes. Rabbeinu Tam says, therefore, since I hold that during these 14 days, those are called Yemei Tumah and you can't do bedikas, Rabbeinu Tam had women in the time of Chazal and in his time do 2 tevilas. One after 14 days, and then one after 80 days. And if you take a look in the Mordechi, this is in your second booklet, the first page, it's on daf Beis Amud Aleph in Shavuos, on the bottom of the first column, Rabbeinu Tam says that the reason why you do 2 tevilos is because of the following. He says, number one, you do a tefillah after the Yemei Tumah at the end of the 14th days to show that Yemei Tumah have ended, and that now you're able to count Shiva Nekiyim. Now you're able to count Shiva Nekiyim. Because prior to that point, you're not able to count Shiva Nekiyim. So Rabbeinu Tam, step number one in understanding his Shita, is that in the Shaila of number four of Shiva Nekiyim be made tuma, Rabbeinu Tam says we paskin l'chumra, as we saw on the Aflam and Zion, and then the Mordechi quotes that Rabbeinu Tam also says we have 2 tevilas. 1 tevilah to signify the end of Yemei Tumah. I'll read you the exact words in Rabbeinu Tam. V'taima mishum. It's 2 lines from the top on page Beis in the Mordechi in Shavuos. Mishum de savri biyomi v'tvila tali rachmana she'ada tvila kruin yimei leida. Until she goes to tvila, that is called yimei leida. V'tvila achar shiva lezachar l'nu yitamei adam en ator hachar timbal. So the tvila is what transforms her status. Now let's see it in the shach. The sphere Luke Rabbein Tam the Gatsa Smagla goes Maimini Vishar Poskim Apakash Kolach Gonim Kolkum Alov No Gubisar Fats Lahmir Kurabinu Tam. The custom in service is to be machin like Rabbein Tam Lomar Di Me Leida Ain Olin. Step number one is the May Leida doesn't count to Shiva Nekiyim. Okay. Now argues the Ramah. So when are you going to start the Shiva Nekiyim? Start, have her go to the mikvah right after 14 days. Have her go right here. And then let her do the Shiva Nekiyim here. But the problem is, it's freezing in France. And it's not like it is to go to the mikvah today. And nowadays it's, not to take away from going to the mikvah, I can't rank on it because I don't go to the mikvah very often. But nowadays, it's not like what it once was to go to the mikvah. Once upon a time, it was a real asik. You read in the writings of Chabad Hasidim what it was to once upon a time to go to the mikvah. My father told me that my grandmother reported that when they moved, my grandparents lived in Western Canada, My father was born in Saskatchewan. She said it was Gehenna to go to the mikveh. It was absolutely freezing. It was absolutely freezing. Aside from the fact that it was dangerous, once upon a time, it was a very big deal. So now this woman has just given birth. She's 14 days into her birth. She was in no condition to go to the mikveh. So what happened is Rabbeinu Tam said, so you know what? Forget it. Let her not go to the mikveh in 14 days. Continues the Darkei Moshe, v'imkein lidi don. She'einu agim b'shnei tefilos. We don't do these two tefilos. Imkein pashut she'tzricha lahamtin milis bar shivinikiyim ad achar abon yom lezachu v'shmonim lekeva. He says, so if that's so then her you may tuma go all the way up until 80 days. Umizen ishtrave v'minig. So this minig is not a minig shtur, says the Rama. Kedarko v'kodesh. Rav Shechter Shlita's approach of trying to explain every minig and every din to Rabbana, what's it based on? This is really, it's a Masorah in Ashkenaz, already going back to the Rama. So says the Rama, this is not a minig shtus. Rather, what it's based on is the fact that she still can't count Shivanikim, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, he claims Rabbeinu Tam's chiddush is not only what Rabbeinu Tam says on Lamed Zayinam and Aleph and Nida. Rabbeinu Tam had another layer to which we have in the Mordechi. And that is that it wasn't just simply that we paskin like Abaye that the Shivanikim don't start within the 14. The Yumei Tumah don't even end until you go to Mikvah. And therefore, when you can't even think about going to Mikvah until after 80. Why? Because she's still in her Yimei Tuma if it's in the Keva. Back inside. But now he asks on himself, but if that's so then why is 80 important? Why don't you say that she forever is going to, until she goes to the mikveh to end Yimei Tuma, then she needs to count another 7 days after, because you can't count the Shivanikim up until she goes to the first mikveh. So he says, no. To the olam himini das achitei mayim efshad the osan shenagu minig zelachmir ro divrei Rabbeinu Tam ikur tochim eleidasa. Rabbeinu Tam was only going to be machmir within the days that are called Yimei Leida. What are the days called Yimei Leida? Up until 80 days. Anything more than Yimei Leida, no one would ever say that has a din Yimei Tumah. It's true. Rabbeinu Tam says that the Yimei Tumah really go up until she goes to the mikvah, but that's only up until day 80. Once you reach day 80, so then in such a case, we no longer are ever going to consider that Yimei Tumah. So he says like this, just a second. Zainu tel chabon lezachu shmonu kema. Avolo achakach atkan loshen darkei Moshe. So the Shach seems to like this as being the explanation, and this explains the minug of why we follow to this day this halacha of being machmir on the Yimei Torah.
What, 40 days? Do we have to take it for the night of 40 days after that?
What's that?
For 40 or 80?
No. This 100%. You're 100% right. Let me rephrase that. No, you're 100% right. Let me just first summarize what we just read in the Rama. Add one more thing, and then I'll come back to your heart. The Rama we saw has two levels to it. The Rama says that there are some who even follow the extreme shita that says that you don't go to mikveh at all during the 80 days. That shita, says the Rama, we don't follow in places that don't have that minhag. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, let's go to halacha lemaisa first, before I summarize what the Shach just did. Halacha lemaisa, if there is no dam, so then in such a case, if the woman has already cleaned out, so then in such a case, she counts Shivanikim, and she's going to be fine in those 80 and 40 days. There is, however, another minhag. And that was a minhag to follow those who say that that 40 and 80 is absolute, whether there's dam or whether there's no dam. Explains the shach that that minhag, Rabbi Yaakov, in those places that have it, has a makor. That makor is Rabbeinu Tam. That Rabbeinu Tam said that until she goes to mikvah for the first time, she has a din of Yimei Toma. Says the Darche Moshe, if that's so, since we don't go to the mikvah for the first time after 14 days, so then, in those places, when I say we, I mean in Ashkenaz, those places held like Rabbeinu Tam, and in those places, they considered her asurah to her husband until after 40 or 80 days. And that is what we just read in the Shabbat. Yes? Absolutely. Everybody agrees you have to wait till Yimei Tumah. Then you're going to do the Shiva Nikim. Generally, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is the psak in terms of Shiva Nikim, that you could do Shiva Nikim even be Yimei Tumah. However, the explanation of the Shach is that even though the majority of Rishonim followed that way, there was a custom in Ashkenaz that had that
now. And then in the Shach also, I don't understand why
It seems that what they did was that they wanted to show that this is the period of Leida. Period of Leida is up until 80 or 40 days, and that's when we show that Yimei Tumah are over. And at that moment she's now going to be mutter. But you're right, it's a little bit unclear why the Yimei Tahara would do that, except for the fact that the Yimei Tahara are also a chelek of her Leida. They're a chelek of her Leida.
And then just also within Rabbeinu Tam, I understand if she was the Nikva after day 40 or 80, she's still like a Tam Shemekin.
Very good. That's the Taz's Kasha. Comes along the Taz, and the Taz asks the following Kasha. It's a long, long Taz. Don't worry, we're not going to do it. The Taz, only when I heard groan was Yonatan. In Sifkat and Gimel, the Taz says the following. Taz in Sifkat and Gimel actually is broken apart nicely in my edition. Do you have the Taz in three parts in your edition? Mm-hmm. You have the Taz broken apart in three parts? No. So in my edition it is. So it's in the last third. The Taz then asks Michael's question, and that is, at the end of the day, if we're going to say that she goes to the mikvah after 80, or 80 is going to be for the first time, so you still need to have Shiva Nikiyim after the 80. Because what did we say? It's based on Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam says that you go to the mikvah and then you count Shiva Nikiyim. So if that's so, then it shouldn't be 80. It should be 87. She goes to the mikvah, or you may Tolar ends day 80. Now you've got to count Shiva Nikiyim, and then she could go to 87. Now you could give a teretz, but this is a nice kasha of the Darkei Moshe, and at least we have nice kasha of Taz, and at least we have an understanding of where these different minhagim come and go from. Yeah?
The Shach doesn't give the reason, but you just based on the fact that the minhag nowadays became to only go to mikvah once, just based on the mitzvahs of being too difficult going twice.
That's right. That's right. It was because it was freezing. That's basically the explanation.
Rabbi Zizan for Rabbeinu Tam to answer Michael's question is exactly what the Machlokes of Shekel says.
Yefe. Okay. Good. Yefe mod. Okay. So this is the background of what we have. The three major issues, and now let's get into a couple of applications of this. The Pisrei Tshuva in Sifkatan Beis raises a fascinating question. And that is, okay, so the halacha, we follow the compromised position of the Ramah. Maybe we'll just write it out now. Compromised position of the Ramah, that is, Yimei Toar
So then if there's blood, forget it. You got to go to the mikvah. And if there's no blood, then it's fine. Okay.
That, not the position that the Shach was explaining. That's the standard position. That's halacha l'maisa. Okay. So ask the Pesachei Tshuva a fascinating question. So what happens if she bleeds in the Yemei Torah? So now she goes to the mikvah. So Torah says that she's not supposed to go to the mikvah. We have a custom that you do go to the mikvah. Why? So the Lashon of the Ramah was kvar pashat ha-mini b'chol Yisrael she'ein bolin al dam toar v'dino kishar dam l'chol davar. That we treat it like dam l'chol davar. So raises the tshuva me'ava nechsam sofer. Does she make a bracha on the tefillah in such a case? Will she make a bracha on the tefillah? So Rav Miller Shlita pointed out very sharply that it really depends on a close reading of the Rishonim. If you listen to the Lashon HaRambam in Isurei Bia, in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tezvav, it's quite clear that what the Achronim raised, that maybe she shouldn't make a bracha, is 100% correct. Excuse me, it's not Yud Aleph Tezvav, it's Yud Aleph Vav. In Yud Aleph Vav, the Rambam writes the following. V'din ze bimei hagon mischadish, v'im gozru shelo yasham dam tor klal, shezer shechmiro atzman bimei chachmei gemara, eino ela beroa dam shu tamei. The Rambam says that when Rabbi Zera said that nashim echmiro al atzman, that they would go to the mikvah for all dam, the Rambam expressly writes that that chumrah does not apply to this halacha of Yimei, of the Dam Bimei Tohar. Rambam expressly writes it. Rather, the Rambam says, it was a later minhag. If that's so, point out the Tshuva Me'ava, one of the Talmidim of Noda B'Yuda, and the Noda B'Yuda himself, he really was influenced by his Talmud, because the Tshuva Me'ava says he started bothering his Rebbe, the Noda B'Yuda, and the Dogel Mervava, Taka, he has it, that he said, really, there should be no bracha. There should be no bracha when a woman goes to the mikvah during the 80 days or the 40 days. Why? Because it's just a later minhag. Oh, where does this come from? As the Tshuva Me'ava points out, the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, she is learning next year, the fascinating sugya, says that Arava doesn't get a bracha because Arava is a minhag. Halel, according to Rambam, doesn't get a bracha. Halel is a minhag. Ashkenazim have teirutzim. So at the end of the day, you would not make a bracha. That's what the Noda B'Yuda comes out. And that would fit in, according to the Lashon Rambam, in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Vav. However, if you take a look at the Lashon of the Ramban, quoted by the Tur, he says it very differently. He says that this was included in the Halacha of Rebbe Zeira, that we included it and we were Machmir. Says the Ramban, Kotor Ramban, Afal Pishim Min HaTorah Mutar Livo Adam Tor, Kol Aroa Dipa Stama Fil B'Tochim HaTorah Teshim Nikim, V'Areyu Bechlal Chomer Shechmiru B'Nos Yisrael Al Atman. It's included in the Chumra B'Nos Yisrael Al Atman. So Rav Miller Shlita said beautifully that this Shaila is going to be totally in this Machlokis between the Ramban and the Ramban. Halacha l'maisa, Rav Miller also concluded, in terms of practice, is the Lashon HaRamah. And that is v'dino kishar dam l'chol davar. We treat it like all dam. And it's a davar poshut, Michael, that when you have a din d'rabbanan, when Chazal were machmir, not pitoras minik, but Chazal said that we have to be machmir on all dam and treat it like dam nida, that we make a bracha on the tefillah. Hence, that is the halacha. So this wraps up the sugya of Yimei Tumah, Yimei Tohar. Any clarification, questions? Obviously, in terms of a lot of the halacha lemaisa of Leida and Mapelos, we haven't gotten to yet, but we went a little bit more slowly just to delineate, just to see how this difficult sugya evolves into the most basic outline of halacha. Yeah?
The Dogel Mervava, even though he says you don't make a bracha, and the Tshuva Me'ava, they're talking about a very specific case, though, where she already went to mikvah.
For sure.
The only reason why she's Tamei is because she saw doing
Me'ava. Correct.
I just didn't understand. How did Rebbe's answer Michael's question, meaning they're both a minhag.
No, it's not a minhag. No, Benos Yisrael Chmiru Al Atzma, we've already delineated in previous shiurim, is that once it was Benos Yisrael Chmiru Al Atzma, it wasn't Betaris a minhag. It had as a tokus of a din derabana.
That's
what we've been assuming the whole Zman.
I mean, the Rambam is Midoraisa,
How you read Rebbe Zera is not my discussion, but at the end of the day, for the last 5 months, we've been assuming that Benos Yisrael Chmiru Al Atzman is not just simply a minhag, but as a tokif of a din d'rabban, it gets a bracha like all dinim
d'rabban. Why doesn't this chumra is the same thing as Benos Yisrael? This one right here, this one that started 1,000 years ago, whenever it is.
So that you have to be Ma'ayin and the Rambam. The Rambam says it's not that way. The Rambam Yiral Vav says that it's not one. It's not the din of Rebbe Zera. Okay. Now let's continue on. Mapelas in Siv Beis in the Mechaber says the Mechaber Hamapelas Besoch Arboim. We're going to delineate three exceptions of women. You know what? Let's do it that way right now. Three exceptions of women who go through some birthing process but do not have Tumas Leida. Number one is Siv Beis. Hamapelas betoch arba'im yom, eino choshesh livlad. Avo choshesh mishum nida afilu lo rasa. So a woman who miscarries min ha-Torah would not have Tumas Leida if the fetus is less than 30 days. Rashi increases on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, says that the halacha is that within 40 days is maya ba'alma. I know that Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, in cases, this is not our topic, of course, now, and this is a big topic for Gedolei Hora, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal was matir cases of abortion less than 40 days of the fetus, and that is due to the Rashi increases. That's not considered a vlad at all, and therefore the halacha would be that Tumas Leida does not apply. However, what's that?
Psicha Sakaver.
I didn't finish. Yeah, let me finish. So it continues in the Chaver. Choshesh mishum nida afilu lo rasa. Baruch Shem, I am nachas that Talmidim jump, but every once in a while, God, let me finish. Choshesh mishum nida afilu lo rasa. So even though it doesn't have a din leida. But at the end of the day, there isn't a problem Tumas Leida. And remember, we said that when it comes to Tumas Leida, then the halacha is that you're metame belach or biyavesh. However, over here, when it comes to a miscarriage, so then you have a problem of one of two things. Number one is there might be bleeding. And that dam, you might have to be choshesh's dam nida. Number two is the rule that we just saw above. In other words, that was chash number three, and that is psicha sakever that we mentioned before. And that's what the Rama says: mipnei shi yevshal psicha sakever below dam, because we have to be choshesh for yevshal psicha sakever below dam. V'nafkemina the miyad la'achas shesafar shemnekim muteres ve'enel choshesh's levad. So let's talk halach lamaisa. God forbid if a woman has a miscarriage. So then, in such a case, it really depends on the stage of the miscarriage. Either way, the woman is going to be tzmeya. If there's any significant amount of material that was miscarried, first of all, if there's just pure dam, so then you have to be chosh dam nida. Then, even if there's any other type of mapala that comes out, so then in such a case, one has to be concerned of iyav shel psichas hakever below dam. That's why many of the posts can discuss many of the issues that we've discussed previously, Yishev Sichas Kever Bodam here, because this is where it appears in the Ramah. And therefore the halacha is as follows, that she needs to keep Shiva Nikim. However, there is no din of Tumas Leida, provided that's less than 40 days. If it's more than 40 days, so then in such a case, then we already have to be Choshesh for Tumas Leida. Another instance where one would not have to be Choshesh for Tumas Leida is referred to on the level of Doraisa again. In other words, what's going to happen is that we're going to have on a level of Doraisa two of the three cases where there is no Tumas Leida are going to be only on the level of Doraisa, but Midrabanan we're going to end up being Machmir. Let me write this out on the board. So when a woman has a birth, but nevertheless there is no Tumas Leida, So we have number one is the case of a miscarriage, less than 40. But nevertheless, we're machmir because of Yefshar of Sichas HaKevet. So that's going to be the bottom line. And then what we have is we have another case. And that is that Min HaTorah, the only time that a woman has a dimapola is if she has a mapola to a fetus that looks like a child. So the Mechaber says in Siv Gimel, Hamapelas kumin behema chay va'of, o kumin dovin v'chagom shkotim u'rumas, n'chol tzur ezvat, o shapir o'shalya. So then, in such a case, achshav, she'ein onu b'kiyim b'tzura choshesh levlad. So, even if it's more than 40, then min haTorah, we would say, if it doesn't have tzura tavlad, she doesn't have tumas leida. So if there's no tzura tavlad, there would be no tumas leida. But at the end of the day, midrabanan, and this is what a lot of the mechaber that we're not going to read inside is going to develop, and that midrabanan we're going to be machmer. So let's see that inside in the mechaber in Sif Gimel. Hamapelas kumin behema chay va'of, o kumin dogin v'chagon mishkotzim ramasim, v'kol tzura tavlad, o shapir, o shalya, o chaticha, shekarua, v'yesh ba'etzam, achshav, she'enu b'kiyim b'tzuras, choshesh levad. So once upon a time, min haTorah, if there's no tzuras tavlad, there's no tuma, but now we're machmir. So the vim kolu shivin ikim b'toch yidal yom, im tov l'kolim lel tazvav lo also l'tfila, we treat or everything more than 40 as a din leida. That's what emerges. We treat it as halach l'maisa midrabana. Emphasis over here, midrabana. The midrabana we treat it as tumas leida. So bottom line is that, God forbid, a woman has a miscarriage in such a case, we're going to be machmir. Now the mechaber continues on with many other examples of mapeles. At the end of the day, in almost all instances of mapelas after 40, you have to be choshesh for tzuras havlad. And I've decided, because we've been going on for a while giving the important background, I'm not going to go through every case in the mechaber. I know that it's ironic that this whole zman I was machbit to go through the mechaber, and now at the last day of the zman, maybe because the last day of the zman, we won't go through it, but you should go through the examples of the mechaber. In general, if there's any type of leida, we're machmir, and it has a din leida, God forbid, if it happens after 40 days. Now, the third case where there is no tumas leida min haTorah, which is very much halacha l'maisa even today, is the case of a cesarean. Mituach kesari. So then, in such a case, then a C-section or yosei dofen. So then, also, that's not considered halakhically tumas leida. That appears all the way at the end of the siman. The mechaber writes, yosei dofen. Lo yotze dam eladarch dofen imo tahora mileida uminida umiziva. In the world of theory, a woman who has a C-section could actually not be tmeya at all. By the way, C-section is very, very difficult. I'll explain. My oldest son was born through a C-section. It's not pashut. So a husband who is a Russia, if he wants to have his wife not to be tmeya, to schedule a C-section. So then, in such a case, then she's not going to have, she doesn't have neither tumas leida, in theory, neither tumas nida, nor tumas ziva, okay, that's it, right? Well, not necessarily. At the end of the day, a C-section is not going to be mitame. Why? Because min haTorah is not considered a leida, but we're going to need to clarify a lot more, and we'll come back to this in another 20 minutes. The status of a C-section. So that, in terms of the list of examples are that there is no tumas leida on those three min haTorah. Practically, it only applies to a C-section, and it doesn't apply to anything else. Halacha l'maisa, we'll get to halacha l'maisa. Obviously, the big question is, when does one's wife become nida in terms of the birthing process. There are many cases, Rav Yaakov, by C-section, that she'll become tmei nida, as I will, and tmei leida, as at least tmei nida, as I will explain shortly. Just a couple of technical points on the women that we just mentioned. In Siv Gimel, in the Shach, Siv Katan Dalit, he says the following. He said that if there's a miscarriage, so then in such a case, she can't go to the mikvah within the first 14 days. By the way, in a miscarriage, generally it's not clear whether the fetus was a nekeva or a zachar. It also depends at which stage the miscarriage took place. So in general, the rule as the Shulchan Aruch describes is that we're machmir to be choshesh that it was a nekeva. So therefore, the Shach comes of Katan Dalit, but also at Tfila, at Tzricha Shem Nekiyim, Acha Yudal, Kidu Il Sefalit, Umashma, Dimapelet, Lezema, Dimachmer, at Tzricha, Pei Aleph Yom, Visagi Lo, Bishem Nekiyim, Acha Yudalit. One could have argued, wait a second, that there are some who say that you have to wait till the 80th day, or the 81st, that there are some Achronim who raise the possibility to be Machmer, even the 81st at night. Mikra Dizina, one does not have to be Machmer. But either way, maybe one would say to be Machmer up until then. So he says not that way. That psak is rejected as well by the Be'er Heitev. The Be'er Heitev says the minig is to be Mimeka like the Taz, even on the 41st. So at the end of the day, what emerges is that in practical terms, a woman who chaskula has a miscarriage, so then in such a case she counts Shiva Nikiyam immediately after the 14th, and then in such a case she would go to the mikvah. That would be the practical halacha. And that's where sometimes it does happen. If it's a miscarriage that's early on, relatively early on in a pregnancy, so then the woman would go to the mikvah, she would count the Shiva Nikiyam, sometimes as quickly as 14 days afterwards, she'd be ready to count Shiva Nikiyam. She counts Shiva Nikiyam, and then she'll be able to go to the mikvah after that point.
She counts Shiva Nikiyam.
What's that?
The first 14.
Oh, so the question is whether you could be makel according to those and count during those the 14. But the Shach, look at the Lashon Shach. That's why I was reading the Shach. What does Shach say? Lo also tefila. El tzricha shiv nikiyim achar yudal yom kidu le'il sifalit.
Difficult shach.
So shach, the simple reading of the shach is that one waits, waits 14 days. What Rabbi Avram is pointing out is that v'im kolu shiv nikiyim toch yudal yom im tov l'kodom le'il tezvav lo also l'tfila. But one could definitely, according to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, already in Sif Aleph, is one could already count Shiva Nikiyam even during those 14 days. So that seems to be a machlokus between the Shach and the Shulchan Aruch. Now that you're asking me about it, I think Rav Miller did address this, and I have to listen back again to what he said about that question, how we're knowing Lamaisa. So I have to get back to you on that. Yeah, but the Shach does clearly seem to say that 14 and then another 7. Yeah. By the way, this will hardly ever happen anyhow, because usually if there's a miscarriage, she won't be the it will take long. It will take a while for the system to clear out for her be able to get Shiva Nikiyam. It usually doesn't happen that quickly. Yeah.
Two questions. Number one, I'm not exactly I'm understanding why we're matam every single woman who chas v'chalila under 40 days has a miscarriage, because even in Im Tzricha Sekev v'lo Adam, there are gedarim for that. So if you're samech on the Egros Moshe, even if the Beis Yosef, what comes out under 40 days is much smaller than 3 millimeters in circumference. There's not really a Tzricha Sekev.
Let's get to that, okay? The Ramah is mefurish that mapelas betoch arboim shulchan aruch and Ramah mefurish that choshesh mishum nida.
The Seder, but I'm not sure why that's coming from Ein Psicha Sekev v'lo Adam.
That's what the Ramah says.
So, but then why, according to what we learned from Kofei Chas and Negros Moshe?
Okay, it's a fair question.
Okay, second question is.
It's a fair question. It's a good answer, but that's
I don't know.
Well, this
I'm not saying
the
halacha
is
in that way. I'm just trying to figure out misfar why that's
okay.
So. Second question is in order to be machshav this woman a yoledes, in the sense that she's going to have 24 months of being mesulekas damim, so do we count her as that? I mean, I don't see why not.
That's a totally different topic.
What? Is that not here on being on someone who's
Mapella? Yeah, I didn't. I said, but I don't want to talk about her din in mesulekas damim. I'd rather stay right now in terms of this topic of Yefshav Sichas Kever Lodam, talk about the very, very practical, very common instances. And then it's my pleasure afterwards to talk about other things. Okay. Now, a woman who is in the process of Leida. So, what is going to be her status as far as when she becomes Tmeya? So that's a fascinating, fascinating discussion I want to go through with you well. And that's why I'd rather, Rabbi Yonatan, leave your topic for now, because I want to go through the sugya with you well in terms of her status as in terms of Tumas Leida. What emerges from the sugya of Eifshel Psichas HaKever Below Dam, and that is Qumran number 3, that we say that we're Machmir of Eifshel Psichas HaKever Below Dam, is that at the end of the day, we have to be concerned that when a woman is giving birth, that there is going to be a time that there's going to be psichas hakever, and she's going to have a din of tmeya, and that is lahalacha. The Pischei Tshuva raises a fascinating give and take between the Nachla Shiva. Now, the Nachla Shiva is an interesting sefer. The Pischei Tshuva is a Sifkatan Ches. Sifkatan Ches. The Nachla Shiva is a sefer that is a collection about a sefer on shtaros, and he does have some interesting tshuvas there as well. So this day we use a sefer Nachla Shiva if you need any type of shtar. So he quotes the Nachla Shiva as quoting the following minig in Poland. So what we're going to do is take this issue number 3 and magnify it and start analyzing the sugya psichas hakever below dan in the context of Leida, and we will see some very important issues that come up. And to this day, there's a lot of question about, I hope to go through it clearly so that some of the mystery about it will be removed. Okay. The Nachla Shiva quotes a minig in Poland. And the minig in Poland was that if a woman had what we would call false labor, I'm talking about a serious false labor. In other words, they called the midwife and they said that it looks like she's going to give birth. So then in such a case, then she needs shivanikiyim, she's automatically tamei. So this halacha will be that once you have psichas hakever, there's a requirement of shivanikiyim. All this is quoted over here in the Pischei Tshuva. So the Pischei Tshuva says, Sifkat and Ches, the false labor, the minig in Poland was lahachmir. The Achronim go to town on this, even though at first glance it could be based on a Gemara. Let's take a look in our photocopies, the second page. The Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. It doesn't matter, as we're going to see shortly, because of Eim Sichas HaKever Below Dan. The Gemara describes that a question that has nothing to do with Hilchos Nida, and will be an open question whether it's relevant to our sugya. Yet the Gemara uses the term Psichas HaKever. Says the Gemara 10 lines on the top in regards to a woman giving birth on Shabbos. On Kuf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Me'ema Sai Psichas HaKever. What is the moment of Psichas HaKever? For what? Ah! We want to know if we could be Mechalel Shabbos to save the woman. Meimasai Psichas HaKever. When is she considered in a state of Sakana? By the way, Vamevin Yov, in the Chazon Ish, when we discussed the Sugya of Psichas HaKever, brought a Raya from this Gemara that when it comes to Psichas HaKever is a big trauma, because the Gemara over here uses it Sichas HaKever as when she's in a state of Sakana that it could be Mechal Shabbos for her. So it could be that's a reason to be Mechal. Not every gynecological procedure is a Sakana. Okay. But maybe you have in closed brackets. Meimusai Sichas HaKever, so there are three Shitas. Amar Abaye Mishah Shetesheh V'Alamashver, when she sits on the birthing stool. Rav Huna Berev Yeshua, he's more Machmir. Mishah Shadam Shosas V'Yari, there has to be that blood's already coming out of her. V'Amila, some say, Mishah Shechar V'Oseh Nosis Asa. Some say when her friends carry her. So three different Shitas. Either she needs to be bleeding a lot, or she's on the birthing stool, or her friends are carrying her. Okay. Zok the Nachla Shiva, the Minik Poland goes as follows. The moment in which a woman goes into labor, so then that's Yosheves Alamashbir. If she so Yosheves Alamashbir, you would be Mechalel Shabbos for her. Sakana. If that's so then she's Tameh the moment that she's Yosheves Alamashbir. Comes along the Chavis Das. And the Sidrei Tara, and almost all the Gedolei Haposkim, and they say, we don't pass in this way. A woman who has false labor, we will not say that she's Tamei, even if she reached the stage of Yosheves Al Hamashter.
You start checking her?
What we're going to see, slow. What we're going to see is that Rav Moshe Zatzal with Medayik and how the Chavis Das says it, the Sidrei Tara says it, Rabosai, we're going to go slowly here, okay? Because there are a lot of nuances in the post that I found when I learned this as well, there were a lot of things that weren't clear, so I want to go slowly so we really get the Shitas clear. And to this day, there are different approaches from the post. Yes, Ramosha? Oh, so the Pashas is that's Mashashe Yosheva Salamashba. That's the Pashas that we pass. Okay. In terms of Chilul Shabbos, wait. Oh, so you guys gotta give me a little bit of chance. So comes along the Sidrei Tara, and the Sidrei Tara tells us that this Gemara is not relevant. The Sidrei Tara in Simen Kuf Tzadi Dalet Sif Katan what? By the way, you're just following the tradition of my Rebbe. Rebbe Braunschweigel, I said that Rebbe Soloveitchik used to get frustrated with him, and he said he used to call him, he would always interrupt him, and he used to call him a Mexican jumping bean. So he stopped being a Mexican jumping bean. So it's okay. So the Sidrei Tara Sifkatan Chav Gimel quotes this, the Nachla Shiva. And ultimately, he has a fascinating take. He says the Gemara isn't necessarily relevant at all. Is the Gemara, which Gemara is going to define whether a woman has a din of Tumas Nida? Which Gemara is it? Did the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Tes say that the woman has a din nida? The Gemara just spoke about Chilul Shabbos. That's all the Gemara spoke about. Okay. Says the Sidrei Tara, Dibar Machla Kosov al Zeb Sefer Solos Mincha. Ulaniyaz Daiti Ein Dvarav Brurim. It's the second, in my edition, Sifkat and Chafei, it's the second paragraph. The kol shekein ein mukhrachim. The af the kaimelon the mishitesha al shat mash behav sicha sekever. Hainu im yoledet sachakach. Mash ein kein im ein yoledet sachakach. Vahochaz man rava lo yada. Igloi milsa lemafrei shetals haya. Vichevle shavaya. Gamam yoledet sasa. Says the Sidrei Tahara, there's such a thing over here called a false positive. Which means the following. You call Hatzalah, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person you called them for was going to die. You call them because there's a small possibility that their life is in mortal danger. All you need is a small possibility. Does that mean that there was Sichas HaKever? No! The Yoledus made a mistake. Everybody made a mistake. Yosheves Alamashber is a chash of Psichas HaKever. But that doesn't mean that for sure there is Psichas HaKever. Now, Yesh Lodun is different from Gemara. The Gemara said, Me'emasai Psichas HaKever. Me'emasai Psichas HaKever. What does the Gemara mean, Me'emasai Psichas HaKever? When should you start being choshesh for the sakana of Psichas HaKever? Zok Dehevi Gesirei Kar. But it's a false positive. It wasn't Psichas HaKever. And part of my term, the rabbi lied and the doctor lied. But they didn't do anything wrong. They were just following the halacha and the medicine. But at the end of the day, there was no psichas HaKever. So he says, so that's how we view it in the case of a false labor. You thought there was psichas HaKever, and it turns out that it wasn't psichas HaKever. The Sidrei Tara goes even further. Sidrei Tara says, and you'll give me another klal that you're supposed to look at. And that is the Mishnah and Olos that the Grav that we mentioned already said, that that's called Psichas HaKever. So you could measure, I would add. Says the Sidrei Tara, no. That's a different barometer as well. He says that's a Shaila of Tuma Belua. That's a Shaila, if you look in that Mishnah, whether the fetus came out, if there was Tuma in the house, whether the fetus is Tuma. But that isn't necessarily a Raya to Psichas HaKever below Dam in terms of whether there was Dam Nida that came out. Now I'll give you my understanding, my crunch of the Sidrei Tara. It seems to me that the Sidrei Tara holds, and I think Ramesha bears this out as well, we'll do Ramesha as well, that the Sidrei Tara is of the opinion that Yosheves ala Mashbir is the best barometer we have for Psichas HaKever. But it's not absolute. It's not absolute. And even the shiur, according to the Sidrei Tara, even the shiur that appears in Maseches Olos is not an absolute shiur either. Sidrei Tara is doche that as well. And he concludes, Lefi zeh, le'inyin sakonas nefashos, l'chala ha-shabbis, doesn't have to be a shir gadol. So when does a woman become a nida in terms of psichas hakever? Miyach yosheves ala mashbir. Iku psichas hakever purta v'tzarach habal izor mimenu. And the Baal has to be careful. That's what Sidrei Tara says. So says that Sidrei Tara, at the end of the day, false labor is fine. No tuma in the case of FL. There's going to be no tuma in the case of false labor. And Yosheves ala Mashbir is the best indicator. Yosheves ala Mashbir is going to be a chash for Nida. But if it turns out that it was false, so then in such a case, he could be Mekel.
Maybe he can retroactively...
That's right. We say that it was... We were Choshesh. We did the best medical thing that we could. And the Chavis Das says this a little differently. Ramesh is Medayik that the Chavis Das is a little different. Chavis Das in Kuf Tzadi Dalet rips apart the Nachla Shiva. And the Chavis Das says, this is a ridiculous dimion. He says, "Elanias daiti lo nirikain. Dim kain hadarim himself a simios a dolphin the Torah minida v'chimayri below yashva lamash v'heklal." Asks the Chavis Das, but didn't we learn by a C-section that a woman who goes through a C-section, she's tahora? She never sat on the mashber. Elavadai nira the hadarimon the yefshal psichas kevel odam. He said the only time we say Ein Psichas HaKever is when we know that something came out.
The
The Chavis Da says the fact that the Gemara says that we're Mechal Shabbos has nothing to do with Nida. So the Chavis Da says that the Gemara, she's also tar when it comes to false labor, no tuma. He also says that. However, the Chavis Da says that the only time we have to be choshesh for psichas hageber is when we see that something came out. If you're not aware that something came out, then in such a case you could be mekel. So you need to check. You need to check if there's doubt. But it's not an absolute rule. Yosheves al Mashver is not going to be the rule. And it's not going to even be the makom of the chash, according to the Chavis Da. Says Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe, therefore that means halacha l'maisa the following. According to the Sidrei Tahara, if there's a false labor, she's tarred completely. According to the Chavis Das, then you got to check. What do you have to check, says Rav Moshe? You have to check how wide the uterus has gotten. You have to check how wide the uterus has gotten. Vameivin yavin, I'm not convinced that according to Sidrei Tahara, not only would you have to check, that even if you checked, even if it was 2 centimeters, you'd have to be machmir. But that's just vameivin yavin. Let's just see it inside in Ramesh's Chuvas. I have this photocopy. Ramesh says in Simin Ayin Vav, in Yoredeya, Chelek Beis, Simin Ayin Vav, he discusses that a woman with false labor, and he says the following in the first paragraph, Hine b'dvar isha shiyoshva ala mashber. He quotes first the Chavis Das, and then he says that according to Chavis Das, then in such a case you're going to have to check afterwards, while according to the Sidrei Tahara, so then in such a case, then ipso facto, the fact that it was simply false labor shows us that there was no need for that chash. The Chavis Da says that you have to check if there was dam, and Ramesh then goes on to say that if it's already 2 inches or more, so then in such a case, then there's room to be machmir. This is how Rav Sabalovsky Shlita understood Rav Moshe. If you take a look in the second booklet, just a second. If you take a look in the second booklet, the last 2 pages, he summarizes. I'm going to read over how Rav Sabalovsky presents it shortly, but just to how he presents Rav Moshe on page 17. Last page, Rav Moshe Feinstein ruled that if a pregnant woman goes to the doctor at the beginning of her 9th month and is told that her cervix is 1 centimeter dilated, she has not experienced opening of the uterus and she remains permitted to a husband. By the way, when he concludes over here that what he thinks Rav Moshe is based on, I'm not sure that this is what Rav Moshe said, but either way, that is correct. Rav Moshe says that you need to check. And if it's 1 centimeter, then it's going to be okay. What's 1 centimeter? 1 centimeter, if I'm not mistaken, is 10 millimeters, right? Yes. So 1 centimeter is 10 millimeters. And Rav Moshe, we've learned in the past, is mekel up until 19 or 20 millimeters. So then that's going to be fine. This is also, as well, how our great Rebbe, Rav Nevinzal Shlita, told me how in the past he has advised women who go into labor, and that is that up until they are dilated for 2 millimeters, so then in such a case,
two centimeters
and 19 millimeters, 20 millimeters, the sheet of the gruff, we could be mekel, and we don't have to be machmir for 3 millimeters, as we've discussed previously as well when we spoke about Em Sifa Sakever below down. However, I did ask Rav Nevinzal a couple of questions today, and he thought that they were good questions. The minhag here in Yerushalayim is to do it as I just described, and it's consistent with the tshuva of Rav Moshe. However, in other words, many do what I just described. This is also basically what you will get from the Sefer Marek Kohen. However, I'm going to add a wrinkle that I think is important to keep in mind, And I say this with a little bit of trepidation because I'm about to get into a thicket between different approaches between giants, but as you'll see shortly, there is another variable that's extremely important to take into account, and this is going to get a little bit it's going to get a little bit sensitive because I think Reb Shlomo Zalman was a little bit more makel than simply asking whether it's the opening has reached 20 millimeters, and that would be consistent also with what I heard from Reb Schechter and many other of our great rabbis, but we'll go me'akala l'kavod. So far, let's just review what we've had up until now. What we've had up until now is the way to start the sugya is the case by false labor, and three different approaches. Number one, just to be machmer false labor, because that's yosheves al mashber, or to say that either yosheves al mashber is a false positive, you have to be choshish, but that doesn't mean that she's going to become tmei nida. When will she become tmei nida? When it turns out you have to be choshesh from the moment of yosheves al mashber, and somewhere along the way, then a little bit later, she will have psichas hakar below down. That's the approach of Sidrei Tara. According to Rav Moshe, then you don't even have to check after false labor, according to Sidrei Tara, because it turns out the false labor is megala, that there wasn't any psichas hakar. The Chavis Das is a little different. The Chavis Das throws out yosheves al mashber entirely. He says there's no dimyon to the Gemara in Shabbos. However, the only thing that the Gemara in Shabbos is telling us to do is to check whether something came out. That's how the Chavis Das says it. To which then Rav Moshe adds, so what we check is how far it's dilated. And that's how Rav Sabalovsky points out as well in his Sefer, Bidas Rav Moshe. Okay? Rav Moshe gives another nafkamin in the Tshuva, but this is the way Rav Moshe took apart the difference between the Sidrei Tara and the Chavis Das. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, as well as Rav Meir Bronstorfer, that's both brought in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, had a slightly different angle, and that's going to be a slightly different approach. It's going to be approach number two, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal's approach, which is quite a kula. But we'll see the kula itself will have limitations. And then finally, I'll give you I'll just bring out what the Rav Miller said over from Rav Ozner. Yeah.
Just very practically, so a husband should be asking in the
like, I'll get to practically after I present all positions. You're right. How do you exercise your emotions, psak? We'll get to that after I outline what I think are all the important positions. Yes.
Rav Moshe is 1 centimeter or 2?
Right. So Rav Sabalovsky says 1. But it seems clear to me that Rav Moshe's makel in other places up until 19 millimeters. So it would be a little bit more than what Rav Sabalovsky. We're talking about centimeters. So Rav Sabalovsky was just giving clear to me in the shir, he was giving an example. That's common. Then the ninth month, she'll be dilated a centimeter. Don't worry about it. That's what Rav Sabalovsky was doing in that shir. So, in the newly printed Shulchan Shlomo, they have, I think, an important kula from Rav Shlomo Zalman, which is consistent to what I learned from our great Rebbeim, which Rav Sabalovsky comes out similar to this, but in a slightly different way. So I'd like to present it to you the way I understand it. On page Kuf Tzadi Hei in the Shulchan Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal has the following kula in Os Yud Beis. In the second booklet, the one without the cover page, Isha Shenivdika, it is the third entry into that booklet. Isha Shenivdika Yidei Rofei Omi Aledes. If a woman is checked by a doctor or a nurse, a wet nurse, V'nimtzu Sheyesh Psichas HaKever. Adayin hi tahora kol zman shelo higisha bezeh v'lo matzah dam. If there wasn't a hargasha and she didn't find dam, hol v'yaduim v'yodim shapsicha hi biglal ha'uba. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that dilation is normal in the process of late pregnancy. And as they quote in the bottom of the Shulchan Shlomo from Reb Braunstoffer, in Oz Dalid, Reb Braunstoffer claims that he did a lot of research, and he says it's extremely common for a woman to be dilated way before when she goes into labor. And Reb Braunstoffer also claims, and this has to, where our Rav doctor in residence is not here today, but he claims that actually if you look into the details, you'll find that the woman's uterus is not entirely open. He claims because the sac that's holding the baby doesn't allow for the uterus to open. So she might be dilated in the cervical area, but a full dilation, he claims, there isn't. Leaving aside the metzius, Reb Shlomo Zalman is not discussing in the metzius. At the end of the day, Reb Shlomo Zalman says very simply, if the dilation is caused by the natural pressure of the baby who, God willing, is coming out healthy, so then in such a case, that is not a psichas hakever that will bring down. Rameh Braunstoffer goes further. He claims that it's not really open. It's not a full psichas hakever. Ayin Shum. But at the end of the day, this is Reb Shlomo Zalman's kula. Reb Shlomo Zalman's Zatzal's kula over here goes beautifully with what I heard from Rav Schechter Shlita, the way Rav Miller presented it, the psak in America. He used the word America and why you interchangeably. My brother in Lakewood would be insulted at that. But it's the psak of the Gedolei Poskim in America, this the way Rav Miller's words was Rav Schechter, Rav Willigan, Rav Sabalowski, and the Sefer, all of them come out with something very similar to what Rav Shlomo Zalman over here says. And that is, at the end of the day, we don't just simply measure how much a woman is dilated. Even if a woman is dilated, if in no way has she begun to really go into labor, so then in such a case, and we'll define shortly what that means, then in such a case she's not going to be tmeya, which I have to concede is different than what our great Rebbe, Rav Nevenzel Shlita, told me. And that I asked him, what do you ask people? He said, shtei etzba'ot. That comes from Ramosha's Chuvas and others that we've discussed in the past, sides of the pika, v'chule, v'chule, that the shtei etzba'ot. So that is a question of a slight question of how we measure. I asked Rav Nevenzel, but b'mitzius we know that women dilate early in the ninth month, and they'll be dilated more than 2 centimeters for a month sometimes before that they give birth, to which our great Rebbe said it's a good question, and I don't have a great answer to it. And he agreed that the Shulchan Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman over here, is quoted in this manner. Now if you take a look, just a second, if you take a look, Rav Sabalowski in the photocopy that I have over here develops the same psak with just a tziruf of many kulas. By the way, I must get back to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Don't let me finish without getting back to Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak. Rav Sabalowski basically comes to the same place. He also summarizes in a slightly different way. I did it my way, the Nachla Shiva, the Sidrei Tara, the Chavis Das. You can take a look over there. And then that's on page 15. And then page 16, Rav Sabalowski then gives four tseirufim lahakel to the position that I had suggested. And that is, and what I'm suggesting is the following, that there is room to say that until a woman is Yosheves al Hamashper, so then in such a case, she is going to be Tahora. She's Tahora up until she's Yosheves al Hamashper. So when I was your age, so I asked Rav Schechter when that is, and what I was taught was that Yosheves al Hamashper means that they're checking her into the hospital, they're going to check her in to give birth. When they check her in to give birth, now that means if God forbid they don't have the bed. Literally, of course, the mashber is the birthing stool. But what happens if it's a busy day right down here in Shari Tzedek, and there aren't enough beds in Nebuch that your wife is spread out on the chairs in such a case, chas v'chalila. So then in such a case, that would also be Yosheves al Mashber. It doesn't have to be literally the birthing stool where women generally, but basically it is that a woman is being checked in to give birth, so then in such a case, she would have the Yosheves al Mashber. If for whatever reason they change their mind, they totally misread the situation, then that gets back to Machlokes within Nachla Shiva and others, and the fact that Pischei Tshuva says that we follow, for whatever reason, either Chavis Das or the Sidrei Tahara. Now again, this approach is not the pashtus the way most understood Rav Moshe. It's not the pashtus, it's not what Rav Nevinzal said is the basic question that he tells couples, but it seems to me to make a lot of sense. A, in the Metzius, and B, from the sugyas themselves. Like the Sidre Tara developed, that at the end of the day, the Gemara says, me'emasai psichas hagever. Just to imitate the way our Rebbe would say it, the way Rav Shechter would say it. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, on Kufchav Tesam et Aleph. I don't know why it's so complicated. Me'emasai psichas hagever, kishiyoshev, salam ashber. Why is it so complicated? So why do you have so many different discussions? You have so many discussions. How many inches? V'chule v'chule, and you have a gra, and you have a mishnah in olos. V'chule v'chule. It's a gemara. It's a gemara. Yerushalayim al mashvi. This is the way my children were born, and it makes a lot of sense to me that this sheet. Although the minhag ha'morim sometimes seems to be a little different. Again, Rav Sabalovsky seems to come to the same conclusion as well, but it would seem from the Gemara that it is cut and dry, and this is the approach. I believe this approach also fits in this my Hosafa, is it fits in beautifully with the Sidrei Tara. I think it fits in beautifully with the Sidrei Tara. Al Regalachas, based on my own limud, the first time around, it seems to be the sheet of the Sidrei Tara. The Chavis Das will be a little more complicated, but it would seem to me that makes a lot of sense. But again, you could see I'm struggling because I am aware that many of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, including the Rav of Yerushalayim, many will ask the size of dilation. One more thing from Shlomo Zalman, and then I'll get the Maaseh Rav from our great Rebbe in America. One more thing in terms of Rav Shlomo Zalman. One exception. You could use Rav Shechter, but you can't use Rav Shlomo Zalman at a particular point. Rav Shlomo Zalman did say that this heter of that we just said, that even if she's dilated, it's normal and you could be makil, Rav Shlomo Zalman did not say it once she goes into severe cramping. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, once she reaches the place where there is intense cramps, so then in such a case, Rav Shlomo Zalman is machmir. That's in the next page of the new Shulchan Shlomo. That's on page Kuf Tzadivav, that Rav Shlomo Zalman was machmir when it's not photocopied, was machmir in this condition. In terms of Rav Vosner's psak, so Rav Miller presented what he pointed out is the approach of the American poskim. I showed him today that you have this head, the Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to also be going in this direction. By the way, Rav Shlomo Zalman's basic svar would be, if once she's already gotten into intense cramping, so then that would, by definition, is Yosheves al Mashver. That's how I would put the two shitas together of Rav Shlomo Zalman. At the end of the day.
It
could be a chumra. It could be a chumra. Ain't a chumra. It could be.
Many women wait a long time until they go into the hospital.
Yeah, so I don't remember the exact number, but in his shiur, Rav Miller gave a number of when the cramping, how often the cramping is, for it to be considered that stage. So the point is that you would hit Yosheves al Mashber where it reaches that moment. Rav Vosner, Rav Miller presented help, was more note to the chumra in terms of when the cervix is open. That it depends on why the cervix is open. If the cervix is open due to some pre-existing health condition that the woman has, then there's room to be makel. However, if the reason why it's open is because she's in the process of giving birth, so then in such a case, then you go back to 20 millimeters and so on, which again would seem to me to come out to be a chumra gedola. I also have a tzarachiyun that if you look at the Rav Vosner that is in the Shevet HaLevi, seems to be a little bit closer to what I said to Rav Shlomo Zalman. So that requires a little bit more birur of what exactly is Rav Vosner's sack. Yeah. You want to tell me my Sarah? Go ahead.
I asked Rav Shechter this question when I was pregnant with my before, 2 years ago. And he told me that that was the water break. That's when he thought that considered an issue. Maybe his, I don't know if his sheet had changed over time.
Okay, that's interesting. So let me go, you segued well. There are two parts of the process. There are three things in the process of birth that you should be aware of that are connected to Hilchos Nida. Number one is there is an embryonic sac that is there, which is water, which protects the baby. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it is that there is a sac of water, which a small sac, which protects the baby. When a woman's water breaks, so then what that it often indicates, but not always, indicates is that it's a little bit more likely that the baby will come out. Actually, just for Metzius, you should know it's a little bit more likely that a woman could get an infection once the water breaks as well, because that's a sign that things have thinned out. So then in such a case, then there is a discussion of the poskim whether she is Tmei Nida. Some argue that the water itself is not, there's no Nida whatsoever in the water. So some say it will be only if there was some blood that comes along with the water. If there's blood, then one would be machmir. Some argue that that's not Yosheves al Mashbir, because she doesn't yet sit on the. She still goes. What happens is her water breaks usually in the house, and when her water breaks, so then they begin to go to the hospital. Is that so? Where do you draw the line of Yosheves al Mashbir? I actually thought from our Rebbe, my understanding was a little bit later period of time. But again, it's defined. It's the same issue of Yosheves al Mashbir as opposed to simply dilation. Finally, another very important point, and this comes up in Shilas as well. Another material that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that to protect the baby from the outside forces is a mucus plug. You have it photocopied in your sheet. Towards the third photocopy, that Rav Forst points out that there are two different approaches in the poskim. What happens if the mucus plug broke? What the mucus plug is exactly pshuto kimashmo plus blood. Mucus plug is a plug of mucus that's there to protect the baby. It's basically the most, as I understand it, the most outer point. And then you have the water, you have the plug, the water, and then the embryonic sac itself. I'm missing Rav Dr. Tzvi. But if I got the Metzius right, so this is what you have. The mucus plug is something that's outside. It's mucus and blood that's there to protect. So many poskim traditionally were machmir once there was blood, because you have to be choshesh that's dam from the uterus. That you have to be choshesh is dam nida. However, Rabbi Forst argues on the bottom where he says that the mucus plug, that dam might not be dam nida. It doesn't seem to be dam nida, because at the end of the day, it comes from a totally different area. It's not from the uterus. It's way below. And then in such a case, then one could argue that it's a totally different type of dam maka and not mitame. However, Rav Miller Shlita's lashon is that if there is dam that comes out with the lady that has a din nida, which is more chomer than Rabbi Forst. Rabbi Forst's argument makes a lot of sense to me, but at the same time, Rav Miller A was choshesh for any blood that comes out, that one has to be choshesh for dam nida, aleph. Beis is that when I showed this to Rav Nevenzal Shlita, his reaction to me was that even if Rabbi Forst is right, how do you know that it's not dam, there wasn't dam there that also came from the uterus? That's a classic problem that we have. So to this day, this is a big question amongst the Gedolei HaPoskim. I like Rabbi Forst's biological argument in terms of halacha lemaisa, what we need to process what these above-mentioned Gedolei HaRa'ah said in terms of halacha lemaisa. Yeah?
I really am very clear about the second approach you were saying, checking the hospital,
Okay, very good. So let's take the different approaches in terms of very practical terms. After I say one more thing, there's one more thing that will happen in the hospital that will also bring up a question of whether a woman's tamei nida, of whether we have to be noig tumas nida. That is what's called stripping. Stripping is that what they do is if a woman has difficulty. And the doctors want to move things along, want to move the pregnancy along. Sometimes one of the difficulties the baby have is that the sac is a really, really strong sac. and the baby is not coming out because there's a lot that's blocking the baby from coming out. So what they do is they strip tissue. It's not pleasant to give birth. They strip tissue from the woman, which allows there to be more movement and ultimately to encourage the baby to come out. That's called stripping. So there, Rav Miller said that it was pasha to him that in such a case that she would be tmei nida, because in such an instance the even if there wasn't any dam, the instrument that's used is large enough to create psichas hakever, to have the problem of psichas hakever below dam. So the way Miller presented is that if stripping is done, for two possible reasons, she's going to be needed. Number one is because of yefshar psichas hakever below dam, aleph. Beis is usually the stripping itself will cause bleeding, which again, according to the way Miller had presented it, would as well create nida. But even if it doesn't, even in instances where the stripping doesn't, so then in such a case the instrument would create yefshar psichas hakever below dam. Now,
let's go. Again?
That often what will come along is some type of bleeding.
That's damakan though. No, maybe it's for the first.
So then that comes back to Rav Nevenzel's point, and Rav Miller's tend to be machmir as far as if there's in general if there's bleeding that's already associated with the process that she would have a din, that one would have to be choshish to be machmir. But ein achanami, that's a point that one should be mavar a little bit more. So let's go. Let's now just take what Rav Moshe asked and put in very practical terms. In terms of, is to summarize now the different shitos of what would come out in terms of halacha lemaisa. According to the way we presented from Rav Schechter, and what I argued is consistent with what appears in the Shulchan Shlomo, if a woman goes into the hospital, and is a little bit slightly different than the way the Maisa Rav that you just described, Rabbi Yonatan, it would seem to me, and what I'm presenting is a lenient position. I do feel a little bit better that Rosabalovsky gives four or five studim to be lenient, a lot of snifim to be mekel. It seems to me from the sugyas and what I heard from my Rabbeim, and it makes a lot of sense to me, it seems to be it's the Sidrei Tara as well, a woman goes in because she believes that she's going to that giving birth is a likelihood in the next while, she's still not tame. She's not tame when she gets into the car. There's room even to say that she's not even tame after her water broke, although we had a Maisa Rav that was mentioned here that was different than that. Even if her water breaks, there's room to argue that she wouldn't be tame. She goes into the hospital, they check her out, she's still not tame. They say to her, okay, you're sticking around, hopefully you'll be giving birth soon, and they turn to the nurses and they say, let's get her a bed. So then, even before they've gotten the bed for her, but if she's coming in to give birth, and they've set her up ala mashber, or they're saying that she's ready to be ala mashber, in such a case, she would have the din of ein psichas hakever below dam. It would seem to me that there's a lot of room to say prior to that that she would not be tmeya. And therefore, the measure, when the nurse comes and measures how much she's dilated, doesn't necessarily mean that she's tame, according to this mahalach. Even if they would say 2-3 centimeters, not necessarily she would be tmeya. She'd only be tmeya. Again, I love the way, our Rebbe does it in such a simple way. The Gemara says that when she's yoshevet al dam ha-mashver, that's when she has a din tuma. I know it's really late, but I just loved it. If you listen to the Siyum HaShas, that when they had it, you gotta listen to it. One of the classic moments is that Rosh Hashanah is in the middle of making the Siyum, and all of a sudden he stops and he's doing it in a very matter of fact way, explaining the Gemara in his beautiful way he does, and then he says, "Oh, Rabbi Blech, Rabbi Benjamin Blech just told me a nice pshat in the Hadron. Come, Rabbi Blech, say over the pshat." You know, very just, in a very relaxed fashion. There were hundreds and hundreds of people there. So he said a beautiful pshat in the Hadron. That's the pashtus. I think that usage of the Gemara makes a lot of sense. However, it seems to be that the Minig HaMorim assumes, and Rav Moshe says that you need to check Ramosha in Yardei Chalit Beisim and Ayin Vav says you need to check. So what are you checking for, according to Ramosha? So you could read according to Chavis Das, you're checking to see if there was anything that came out. You could read that way, but most understand, and this, it would seem to be that Ramosha is saying, that you're checking how much the Psichas HaKever was, how much of Psichas HaKever there was. If that's what you're doing, if you're checking how much Psichas HaKever there was, so then from 2 millimeters and on, then you would have to be Machmer. So according to this position, 20 millimeters, 2 centimeters, one day we're going to get this down, 2 centimeters, 20 millimeters dilated, so then in such a case, the halacha would be that you would be machmer. According to this approach, so then when a woman believes that she's nearing the process of birthing, then her cervix should be checked, and she's dilated 2 centimeters, 20 millimeters or more, then in such a case, she would be tame. I don't think you should take Rav Sabolovsky's words literally. When he says 1 centimeter, I think that he was just saying that as a melitza, that's not uncommon, that in the 9th month of pregnancy she'll be 1 millimeter, then that's going to be fine. I don't think that one has to be machmir more than that. It was just an example that he was just a second. And again, practical terms, if the mucus plug is broken, machlokus haposkin. We had a maisa rab that's machmir already from the water breaking.
At home, the water breaks.
That by the way, I didn't understand it that way. That was just I understood that Yosheva's al mashber is much later on in terms of the hospital. Also, when the water breaks, there's also times that there is blood that could be seen. Then, if in such a case, then Rav Miller shlita would be machmir, and then stripping also if there's instruments that are put in. That are larger instruments. By the way, Rav Miller mentioned an IUD is a small instrument and does not qualify as something that if when an IUD is put is put in. So then, in such a case, it's less than he says more than 3 millimeters, less than 20 millimeters. So then, in such a case, just check that and see us to be 100% sure. That's how I remember it. So then, in such a case, then one could be. Make as well. So again, returning back to the birthing process, if there are really the way we're presenting it is that there are two basic mahalchim of what's going to be mechriya, the rule of Eim Sicha Sakever below that. Yeah.
According to Rav Moshe, the one that holds like that,
assuming that's what Rav Moshe said. By the way, I wasn't entirely convinced Rav Moshe is even saying that, just for the record. Maybe it's because I want to have my cake and eat it, but I wasn't convinced that Rav Moshe is saying that you have to be machmir. Go ahead, yeah.
The one she thinks that the process of converting, she hasn't yet checked them.